We're going to talk about exposing sin today on such a cold day like this. And I think the Lord has given me some words that are of wisdom that I'll be sharing with you. But we're going to start by reading John 3:16 through 21, if you have your Bibles. John 3:16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If we need saving, that must mean we need saving, right? We all need saving. We're all sinners. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that they may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The light, which is Jesus, has come into the world. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. We thank you for the warmth of this building. Thank you for the sunshine outside and for the coolness of the day. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us here today. I pray that you'll fill us with your Spirit. Give us a sense of our shortcomings, Lord, and then give us your hope in Jesus Christ, who came to earth to give us life to the fullest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn into Romans chapter 5. Last two verses in chapter 5. How many are sinners here in this room? Oh, we have a lot of honest people. Well, I didn't even have to ask you because the Bible says we're all sinners. How many of you like it when your sins are exposed? No hands. That's absolutely true. We don't like that, do we? Let's read Romans 5, 20 and 21. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increases, grace increases all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When I was either in late elementary school or early junior high, my family with some friends, a couple other families, we went to Apple River and went inner tubing. And if you don't know where Apple River is, it's in Wisconsin. It's very similar to that other river, Niobrara. I can't even say it. The only difference between the Apple River and this river, that one, is that it's easier to pronounce. The same thing. You rent a tube and you go down a river. We had a great time that day. Going down the river, just visiting, splashing each other, jumping off the tubes. And when we got to the end, we pulled our tubes in and then we had a picnic. We had so much fun that day that we decided to go down again. And it wasn't until I got into the river the second time, the sun was going down, and I became chilled. The problem was that I had become burnt. I was sunburned. I was crisp. And getting into that water, I just realized that I shouldn't have been in the water that long the first time, and now I'm going in again. But it wasn't until I got into the water that I realized that I was burnt to a crisp. Our text today is simply saying that we do not realize our sin. We do not realize our sin until the law points out our sin to us. And the law is what? God's Word. all of a sudden we know that we have violated God's word. Our call to worship in John chapter 3 also says that those who live in sin, or those who live in darkness rather than light, hate the light. And the light here is referring to Jesus Christ. Light exposes sin. How many of you have been in your living rooms in the springtime or maybe early summer, and the sun is coming around in a different direction, and it comes through the window and it exposes something in your house? What does it expose? Dirty windows, it says there. Dust! You see the dust particles floating in the air, or you see somewhere where there's a dark table and someone had put their finger marks, but you see the finger marks and you never saw the dust before. You see, the sun exposes the dust. And it's the same way with God's word. God's word exposes sin in our life. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this text today. And as I pray that as we are all sinners here today, I pray that you'll teach each one that we need your word. We need it so that we become righteous. So I pray that you'll be with each one today. I pray that you'll help us to pay attention and to be able to learn how to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a simple question before I start today. At least I think it's a simple question, at least to ask. Maybe the answer is not as simple as the question is. What do we need God's word for? What purpose is God's word? Huh?
Guidance.
Guidance. Okay, good. Anybody else? Huh? It exposes sin. Okay. Comfort. Look at 2 Timothy. And I want the kids know this. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. That means that God initiated the Scripture to all the writers. And it is useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think this is interesting. Because unless we study God's Word and we put to action what God's Word says, we're not going to be exposing sin in our lives, are we? We need to be convicted of sin and confess our sins. And that process is called sanctification. That's a religious terminology, and it simply means that we're in this process to become more like Jesus, to become more pure. It's a process called sanctification. And if you say to yourself that I am a pretty good person and I'm not a sinner, then we got a problem. Look at 1 John 1, 5 through 9. It says, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. There we see it again. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, walk in sin, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But, listen to verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The Bible also says in Hebrews 4:12 that God's word is alive and active. Is this alive and active? I don't hear a heartbeat. What does alive and active mean? It means it's relevant to us today, just as it was the day it was written. It means that It changes us and it empowers us to live a righteous life. Let's read Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know that God's word is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is breathed by the Holy Spirit. God, Holy Spirit, spoke to the writers. And it doesn't change. It's the same today as it was yesterday, and it's the same as it will be tomorrow. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's the same text. It's still relevant for us today. We need to pay attention to His Word. Why? Because it is useful for... It is useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. Why? Why do we need to be trained and corrected for righteousness? What's that?
We keep sinning.
We keep sinning? Okay. Are you a child of God? Listen to the rest of the verse. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, each one of us has a job to do. Ephesians 2:10 says that we have been given a job to do ahead of time. And we know only what that is by listening to God's word. That's how He speaks to us. God's word is also part of the armor that we put on. Actually, we don't put it on. We kind of hold it, don't we? I'm reading a book about the postmodern world that we live in. In there, they describe that we are more visual today than we have been in the past. And so I wanted to do an experiment with the Iwana kids last Wednesday. And so we had all the Sparkies and the TNT kids all spread out here. And I had them hold a pretend sword, and I told them to raise their sword. Teachers, you remember that? How many kids are here? We had them raise their sword, and then I said, in just a moment, I'm going to tell you to fight your opponent. And so I counted to three, and I said, okay, fight. And so all these kids were fighting with their opponent. I told them not to be wild because I don't want to get anybody hurt with their pretend sword. After about 5 seconds of that, I told them, okay, some of you aren't very good, and you just got stabbed, so you need to fall. And a lot of kids fell. I didn't tell them which ones. See, it's all in their imagination. It's all in their head. They fought this fight. And then I said, some of you just got hit in the arm. And so I said, you need to fall. And so kids are falling all over this room here. When there were 12 kids standing, around 12, I said, okay, the fight's over. Some of you were really good with the sword, because there's about 12 of you standing, and you're still standing with the sword in your hand. So that meant you were really good. You didn't get hurt. But some of you weren't very good. You fell on the ground. You got hurt, or you died. And I said, God's word tells us that God's word is like a sword, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. How good are you with God's word? Do you know it? Do you study it? Friends, we need to study God's word. It's the only offensive thing on the armor. Thank you. On the armor. It's not really part of the army, but it's the only offensive tool that we have. Everything else is defensive. Let's read Ephesians 6:10-17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, and so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. We need the Bible. It helps us to become righteous. God's Word tells us in many different locations that sin starts in the heart. It starts right here. In fact, the Bible says that out of the overflow of the heart is what we speak. What kind of words do you say? Out of the overflow of the heart. Hebrews 4:12 says what again? It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In Matthew, Jesus talks about murder and adultery actually starting in the heart. Let's read it. Matthew 5:21 and 22, it says, "You have heard that it is said that people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you," Jesus says, "I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Anger, if it's not treated correctly, starts in the heart, becomes murder in the heart. Matthew 5:27 and 28, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery." And then Jesus says, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." We need to check our heart. We need to make sure that we have a clean heart. How do we do that? Opening up God's Word and studying it. Our text, Romans 5:20 and 21, "The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase." This doesn't mean that, you know what, if I sin and I read God's Word about that sin, it doesn't mean that it becomes more. It simply means that now I am aware of it. I'm aware of the sin in my life and it becomes magnified, kind of like the sun coming through. All of a sudden there's a whole bunch of dust in my house that I didn't know about. It becomes magnanimous. Is that a word? Might be. Are you a Scrabble player? Thank you. If people question, just have them call me, okay? Romans 5:20 and 21. "The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more." Can I get an amen? Amen. What's grace mean again? Unmerited favor. We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve to get into heaven, but Jesus says that where sin increased, grace increases all the more. Oh man. "So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The law, God's Word, shines light into our life. And it points out and exposes sin. The more sin that's exposed in our life, the more grace that we receive. James 1:13 through 15 says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives what? Birth to death." The penalty for sin. I think everyone here knows Romans 6:23, but it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We know that to be true. I'm going to read our call to worship again. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 3. We're going to read 16 through 21. It's a great text, and it kind of wraps it up. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but what? But to save the world. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God. I want to close with a couple more texts, but I want to talk to you about the character of God. What's the character of God? We have already learned that He did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. That's part of God's character. John 1, 10 through 14, it says, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came so that to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children were born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have been glorified, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become, are you listening? We become children of God. We are accepted into His family. John 10, 10 through 13. The thief comes only to kill and destroy. Who's the thief? The devil, Satan, is the thief. He has come to kill and destroy. And then Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, but does not own the sheep. So when the wolf comes, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus laid down His life for us. Why? To save us from our sin. Are you happy about that? Amen. Romans 8, 37 through 39. Know in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, listen to this, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a promise. Did you know that Jesus showed us His love even before we were ready to receive it? That is so cool. Lord, I thank You for this congregation. I pray that You'll bless them and teach them how to be more like You. And we thank You so much for dying on the cross for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.